I always tried to copy other people and try to be like other people because I didn't know what a preacher was supposed to be. And it didn't work out real well because I'm not somebody else. And so then, and because I couldn't read at the time, I learned to listen to my heart. And I've always spoke out of my heart. And I can read now. And I try to do my best at making sermons and making, you know, I always have notes and I do my best, but it doesn't matter where I go or what church I travel, even when I preach, I always come back to listening to my heart, because if you got no anointing, you got nothing, because you don't want to sit up and listen to me just talk because you wouldn't want to do that very much, I can tell you that. And so that's why I've always tried to listen to my heart. And as I've been sitting here this morning, I don't know why, but I've never had this, but the Lord just said to me when we were singing those songs, He just said to me, so many people prepare in life for, like, I don't always know everything He's saying to me. And then I just keep listening and keep listening. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. By listening to my heart? I'll tell you. Because when I talk to some people about that, they think I'm crazy. Just turn with me for a minute. I'm going to share something, because in John 14, just turn and I'm going to just go through this, because this has been the number one thing in my whole life that has helped me more in family. It's helped me more in business. It's helped me more in dealing with people. It's helped me more with everything that we've done in our whole life. It's the number one thing after getting born again or asking Jesus into my life that has helped me more in my life than any one thing. And this is the last thing that I actually was thinking about today. But here we go. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. So if you know Jesus, back in the Old Testament, and I just say it like this, but back in the Old Testament, everybody, when they got into trouble, they went to who? The prophets. And the prophets went to what? To God. And then God spoke to the prophet, and the prophet came down and says, you know, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to do. But when Jesus died, every one of us, that separation, the veil that was between God and man because of our sin. And when I say sin, our separation from God. We were separated. That veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. That every one of us could come boldly now to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. And so Jesus said, if you know me now, you get to know who? The Father. And then He says over here in verse... I'll just read it, because I know you enjoy my reading. And Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. And Jesus said, Have you been so long a time, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, He does the work. So the Jesus in us and the things that happen on the outside of us, it's not because we're so great. It's because He's so great and He wants to work through us. And then, and I'm just trying to read right through. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I've gone unto my Father. Now, I've always learned to just speak out of this. One of the first times I ever recognized this ever happening in my life. How many people know that the Bible says the name of Jesus is above every name? right? Well, I didn't know that God actually, when I grew up, I thought that God only would affect your heart, right? Your life, and then spiritually, but you just carried on in life. But Jesus said this. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do," so the works that Jesus did. How many people have ever read the Bible or heard of the works of Jesus? Right? He said, "The works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I've gone on my Father." So the very first time in my whole life, I seen different miracles and different things happen. But I mean, one of the greatest things that I knew and I realized when I got born again, because I still couldn't read, I couldn't write, I was still doing everything that I shouldn't be doing. And I was I was transferring from the old man to the new man. But I love God because I was empty in my life. And I tried to fill, and you know, but I tried to fill my life with, you know, I wasn't the coolest guy. I was always the smallest guy. I was always the redheaded guy. I never was first at anything. I was always second or third. I think of race running in school. I was never the guy. And so I had insecurities, and people made fun of me. Redhead, this, and it became, even though you wouldn't know today, I was a very insecure person just trying to fit in life, and I didn't fit. Even when I became a Christian and started to get with youth ministers, I would take my youth to other youth ministers, and they were all cool, and they were hip, and they could speak right, and they could be orators. And I come in like a country boy from Apsley, and they're doing all this fun stuff, and I'm like, here I am. Like, I didn't fit. I just didn't fit. But when my life, see, God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And he wants wonderful things. The Bible actually says he's got plans for good and not for evil, and to give you an expected end. So all of a sudden, I tried to fill my life with every possible thing, whether it was drugs or whether it was just to fulfill. And it didn't matter what I did, it didn't fulfill. And then when I gave my life to Jesus, my life changed inside. For the first time in my life, I had purpose. For the first time in my life, I had peace. For the first time in my life, I was happy with who I was. That doesn't sound like a lot, but I became to know who I was. And I didn't have to be anybody else to become something great. Because God made me who I was, and I began to love myself. And I mean, I don't love myself better than I love you. What I'm saying is I didn't like myself. Because I had freckles, and I had all the everything that people, you know what I'm talking about. So I got born again, and I fell in love with God. And I didn't realize that God would actually, not only would he do what he did in my life to give me peace and purpose, but he would use me to make a difference in life in other people. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to give you things to make a difference in other people's life. And that is what our purpose is. Purpose in our life is not about me having what I want. And I don't understand it, because I've said this over and over and over. The world does things one way, and God does things another way. And the Bible says when you put God first and you get caught up in serving him, which is serving people, what does God love more than anything else? People. And when you love God, what do you love more than anybody else? People. And see, so when you begin to live your life and say, God, use me to make a difference in people's life, whether it's waving to somebody, whether it's appreciating somebody, whether it's helping somebody on the road, whether it's giving to somebody, it doesn't matter what it is. God wants, whether it's praying for somebody, whether it's making a difference in somebody's life, that's what our purpose is. And the Bible says if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his way of doing things, which is, why did Jesus come? Jesus came for this one reason, the Bible says, to seek and to save those which were lost. That's his whole purpose. So when you now fulfill your purpose What is your purpose? To seek out and to help and to make a difference and to seek and save those which were lost. And when you begin to do that, one thing, everything else in your life works. Like all the dreams that you had. Like, it's funny because when I gave my life to Jesus, everything that I had nothing. I mean, it's like an old country song. You know? I'm not lying to you. Like, I lost my wife. I lost my dog. I lost my car. Your truck. She smashed my truck up. I lost my brother. He was killed. Lost my best friend. Lost. I wanted to kill myself. Everything was just depleted in my life. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I got my wife back. I got my dreams back. I got my kids. My dream was, as a little boy, was to have 13 children. I actually wanted 14 because I wanted to beat my grandma. But he wouldn't let me do it. I always wanted just one more. He gave me four. That's right. That's right. We had 14 puppies. Even my dog beat me. Yeah, one try. But God just gave my life back. Do you know what I mean? As I began to seek. So the first time I'm reading this, Jesus said, we'll do the same things he did and greater because he's gone on to the Father. I remember the very first time that I ever seen something real. Like, you know how you got to believe, the Bible says if you believe it, like now faith, this is the Bible. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So there's things that we desire in life. Or there's things that we know that God says that he paid for that are ours. And so how do we obtain those promises out of the Bible? First, you got to hear them. You got to find out that God wants you to have a good life. God wants you to be well. God wants you to be strong. God wants you to be happy. Then how do you get it out of the Bible and into your life? Well, you got to believe it. So the Bible says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is a substance of something you're desiring, right? And so then the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. So faith is now becomes your evidence of things you can't see. So in order to receive from God, you got to believe it. And the only way to believe it is to hear it and keep hearing it. And then all of a sudden it drops in your heart and you realize that God actually loves me. He's made me worthy and he wants me to, and he will use me to make a difference in somebody else's life. So I remember, now this wasn't somebody else's life, but it was my life, but it was his life too. So I'm sitting, and you've heard this story over and over and over, but I didn't know that Jesus or that name was more powerful than anything. I didn't know that. I knew that Jesus would save me and I would go to heaven. Like, that's what I knew. And so I'm in a place in my life and it changed my life. Because I was so full of the Word, and you know how I said I learned to listen to my heart? Because I learned to listen to God. God began to speak to me. God began to tell me things. God began to show me things. And I'm going to read down here, because Jesus said this, and he said, whatever you ask in my name, because see, it's his name that paid the price. And at that name, everything in heaven and earth has to bow to that name. It has to. When you put faith in it. See, you can say, I hear people say Jesus Christ all the time. But they're just saying it as a plural. Or an adjective. Sorry, I didn't go to school long enough. But when you put faith in that name, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. See, that's why the Bible says the Word of God has become none effect to some people because they didn't put faith in it. And you have to put faith in the Bible in order for it to work on your behalf. Jesus, the Bible says, all that call. Jesus didn't die for just Canada. The Bible says when he died for every individual. India, China, it doesn't matter. The whole world. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name shall be saved. Why aren't everybody saved? Or why haven't everybody believed in Jesus? Because sometimes they know Christians and they don't want Jesus because of them. Sometimes they've never heard of Jesus. That's why we need to preach the gospel and live our lives and be good to people, because they want what they might want what we got. And other people just heard of it and they just choose not to believe. Which is fine. I don't condemn people. I don't knock people. I don't, even with our church. If people come here to our church once a year, I celebrate when you come once a year. I don't say, phone them up and say, I see you missed a service. Where were you? Like, I'm not God, and I don't pretend to be. I just know what God's done in my life. And see, I never would have been a preacher. You know that. Why would I ever want to preach? I couldn't even talk in front of people. Have you ever tried? You know why? Somebody said to me last night, are you going to do the announcing in Bancroft again? I said, no. Did you ever hear me announce, try to be an announcer? I'm not anointed to be an announcer. And they said, well, you talk in front of people in TV and you preach all over the workplace and you can talk at church. How come you can't even announce a hockey game? I said, I ain't anointed to announce a hockey game. The very first time I announced a hockey game? No, the second time. My mind went blank. They just finished singing O Canada. And now it's up to me to do the starting lineup. Or I don't know even the way it worked. But it was up to me to do the starting lineup. And I looked out in the ice and I couldn't remember their names. And so I'm saying, yeah, there's Coonsies out there. Like, oh, it was bad. Very, very bad. Oh, Shooter. Like, they don't know who Shooter is. That's not even his name. That's his nickname. And we don't want to lose our license, so you don't want me to announce a hockey game. I can preach. Why? Because God anointed me to preach the gospel. That's why I have to listen to my heart. That's why I can't just preach the way somebody teaches me to preach, because I got to follow the anointing or the call of God on my life. And that's why we all have different anointings. And if everybody does what God told them to do, you will change this life. People around you, lives will be changed everywhere you go. Because there's every one of us has a sphere of influence. Every one of us. See, I don't pretend to be in order. Every one of us will make a difference in people's lives. Because God loves people. And do you know why I'm doing this? And why I'm still doing it 25 years later? It's because God's real. He changed my life. And I knew that if he would do it for me in the state I was in, drunk, stoned, empty, ready to kill myself. I was useless to society. I couldn't even see a hope or a dream in life. I couldn't see anything. And he loved me and saved me in that position and changed my life and give me a purpose and give my wife back and give my life back and give me the kids and give me the people that God's given me and actually use me to make a difference in people's lives. I mean, what is more fulfilling in life than that?
Amen.
To have purpose. Jesus loves people. And I knew that if he loved me, he'd love anybody. I knew that. What's that is there a song or a saying, you know, he's the best kept secret? Like, Jesus really is. Because my ideals of what Jesus was is not what he is. I thought if I was a Christian, and I'm not lying to you, I couldn't have any fun anymore. I really did, because I didn't see a lot of Christians having fun. I knew I couldn't look cool because I'd have to have hair like that. My wife would have to have a dress up to here and down to here. And that ain't cool. You know what I mean? That was my perception of what being a Christian was. It wasn't that God, the God of heaven and earth that created everything, would come and live in my life, and the life of heaven that came to earth now lives inside of me. And now I'm not just a man, I'm an eternal man that's going to live forever with God. Like, I mean, people that aren't even smart, what do? As soon as they get a job, what do they start doing? Most people start saving. Why? For the future. So when they get to 50, they can relax. Why do they go to school? My kids ask me, why do we go to school? Why, Dad? Well, so you can learn and then you can get a job. Why? We have purpose with that, right? You know, we'll plan and we'll do this, and then you can get into college, and then you can become a job. You're doing everything for a reason. You got a purpose for everything. Why you're doing? Why you're saving money? Why you slacking or lacking off on this half so you can put it here for the future? Well, what about God? What about eternity? Eternity is forever. And we don't even think about eternity. Like, eternity is forever. Like, I don't even know how to explain ever. Like, it's a long time. The Bible actually says that our life is like a vapor. Like that. Do you know that I'm almost 50 years old? Like, I'm only 47. But I'm like half my life already. Like, I know I don't look 50. And I got grandkids already. And you know what it was like yesterday? And I'm not lying when I say that we were married. Life is so short. People will want me to look at jobs on the weekends, and I do. I was out this morning and I had to look at a job. But the older I get, the more time I spend with my kids. Or I do my best anyways. Life is short. Eternity is a vapor. Life is a vapor, not eternity. Eternity is a long time, and what we do down here makes a big difference for up there. And with Jesus, not only will your life become better down here, like, literally, Jesus said, what's the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on, where? Earth, as it is in heaven. That's how come you can have peace on earth. In the midst of a world that's full of turmoil, killing and hate and bitterness, do you know that every day I turn the TV on? I really don't, but I do turn the TV on. But there's people that are dying and there's devastation. And we help a lot of organizations that help all over the world. But how in the world can I be a Christian and there's devastation going all over the world and even around us? And I've lived 25 years since I gave my life to Jesus, or 26 years, full of peace and happiness and joy in this world. when there's so much devastation going on? Because Jesus said he wants you to have heaven on earth.
Amen.
Have I always had heaven on earth? I have. Have I had things go wrong? Oh, I have. I've had a lot of stuff go wrong. I've had a lot of disappointments. But see, the thing is, this natural world does not dictate your eternal world. And that's why the Bible says in the midst of trouble, in this world you're going to have trouble. I don't know how people that don't have Jesus actually do it. Because in this world you're going to have trouble. But the Bible says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So when you stick with Him, you're not just struggling. You can be in the midst of turmoil in your life, but still have peace with God. Enjoy and enjoy every day of your life, because your life is now not based on what you go through and what happens to you. It's based on where your help comes from, the maker of heaven and earth. It's your outlook. And so it doesn't matter what goes on anymore. What matters is that every day I wake up and I say, thank you, Jesus, because I know when I pass from this life to the next, I'm going from here to heaven. We plan our whole life. We save our whole life. We go to school our whole life. We do everything for a reason, so when we get to 80 years old or 60 years old, we can enjoy it and retire. And then some people die. And then what? I want to tell you, God wants you to have heaven on earth until you get to heaven. And the only way you can have heaven on earth is through Jesus. And I don't preach to people. I work for people every day that aren't Christians, that don't know God. I don't say one thing to them because about the when they talk to me, I talk to them. I'm not there to pound stuff down people's throat. But I want you to know that God, and when people talk to me, I tell them. And I tell them there's one way. And He came and He loved and He gave His life. And there's a purpose for your life. I mean, why do people die? Do you know that I know 10 people that I can think of right now that had a purpose. And as soon as their purpose was gone, they died at 60 years old. The Bible says, without a vision, my people perish. I know people that worked at General Motors or people that worked at this job and they didn't have anything else. Can I tell you something right now? This is nothing to do with anything. This is something to do with husbands and wives, you need to love one another and fall in love with one another. Because I know so many husbands and wives, and I know how easy it could have this happen, that your whole world is your kids, because that's why I work. That's why I work the way I do, is because of my children. So they can live their dreams, so they can do what they want, so they can be everything God wants them to be. And you don't actually, you just drift apart. And all of a sudden the kids are gone and you don't even know how to have heaven in your marriage. The devil is out to destroy families. And if he can, the Bible says, a house divided against itself, it can't stand. And if he can destroy a family, then he can destroy everything. And God can restore. I've seen hundreds of lives and families restored because of God. Hundreds. I'm not just saying one, two. I want to tell you something, that God wants you to have heaven on this earth. And the only way you're going to do it is put your faith in Him and believe the Bible. And I'm not trying to change people's lives, but I'm telling you that I go through life, and my purpose in life is to make a difference in people's lives. And as I make a difference in people's lives everywhere I go, God seems to make my life good. And I don't understand it. You know how the Bible says that in Proverbs, you can withhold. Now, he's talking about money now. I'm not talking about money. But there's a thing in Proverbs that says you can withhold, but then you come to not where you have nothing. Or you can give, and you have so much. Why? When you give your life to make a difference in people's lives, God gives it back to you. The Bible says when you give to the poor, like even the poor, you know, people say, you know, I wouldn't give to that bum on the street, or I wouldn't do this, or I wouldn't help them. You know, they just take their money and, you know, whatever. I just listen to my heart. I just listen to my heart. So if my heart says you need to help that person, I help that person. And I'm not giving so I can get another. If I give 100, so I can get 200, I don't do that. I believe in giving and receiving. I give because God put it in my hand, and I want to make a difference in somebody's life. Hey, you know how many people were here 2 weeks ago and heard me talk about giving to that lady in Walmart? And it wasn't even a lot of money. It was $20 or a little more than that. It wasn't hardly anything. But she was scrambling, trying to find, and I do this all the time. Like, it's just my life. I love to give. Especially give. I love to give. That's just, but don't you give because I give, because that's just who I am. And I had somebody after telling that story, somebody else was in Walmart, and they told me that last week they did the very same thing, and the very same thing happened to them. A lady that didn't have enough money, and he said there was a lady in front of the two of them, and she was making fun of the lady that didn't have money, and he said, does she need money? Let me make a difference in that person's life. Amen. That's what life's about. If you just think of yourself, it's the most boring thing in the world. Because you know what? I want to tell you something about lust. Lust never can be fulfilled. Like, and do you know what I mean by lust? I'm not talking about sex. Lust is, well, I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that. You can have it all, and you're still never happy. Do you know what brings me real happiness? It's making a difference in people's lives. Making somebody else's dream come true. I was down in, I remember this because this is still alive today. Right now, it's still alive today. I went down, and you knew I grew up in Apsley. So I was a country guy, trying to fit in with everybody, trying to be a tough guy, you know, I'm macho, wear the checkered jackets. I still wear them, but you know what I mean? And I'm a man's man. You know, that's what I had to put on, a man's man. And so I go down, and I'm preaching now. I'm riding motorcycles, and that's just after coming right out of bikers into God, and now I'm riding bikes, and I'm it's all a facade. You're trying to be some. I laugh so much now because you know what? I go around today and I laugh because I used to be around tough guys like Hell's Angels, like guys that actually are mean and mean. And some of them are really good people, but they're just caught up in the wrong things. And then I go around these guys that have beards. They're not bikers. They want to be bad guys. But they're really good people. They're trying to be somebody they're not. And they look at me, because I always look at them. I like it because I used to be like that. Grow the beard and the hair. And look tough. Stare at people. Just hoping they never ever want to fight with you. No, I didn't. Why? My whole life was fake. I was trying to be somebody I wasn't. And so I see these guys, and I was in the other night. See, and I have a black belt, right? So I actually can fight. And I was in the other day, and I was getting fuel, and I had these three guys in that were staring at me. And they were bad-looking dudes. And I thought, going in there, now I shouldn't be telling you this, but I thought, after they were staring at me, because I was all by myself, and I was in my truck getting fuel, and I thought, I could kick that guy in the nuts, and I could roundhouse that one and pound the other one. I could knock all three of them out, just walking by them. That's what I'm thinking. That's not the church thing to do, right? Because they were looking at me like, what are you? And I'm thinking, I could show you what I am. And I don't look like a bad guy. I don't even know how I got like that, but how did I get off on that? I don't know. Tough guy. It's not about, see, being a Christian. Let me tell you something. Now, you might not think this, but you know that every single person that's in here is special. And God made you for a purpose and for a reason. And we spend our whole life trying to become somebody else. And if you would actually submit your life to God, He would make you be everything that you've ever dreamed of. Every dream, I think of Joseph. Joseph dreamed a dream. And the first thing that happened was his brothers hated him because he had a dream. And then he was sold as a slave. And then he could have slept with a girl, Potiphar's wife, but he didn't. And he didn't give up on his dream. And God brought it to pass, to make a long story short. And there's a lot of dreams that are in here today that have looked like they're never going to happen. And I want to say this, because if you don't become who you are and allow God to come and help you become who you are, you'll never ever see these dreams come to pass, because we're always trying to become somebody else that we're not, because we think that's the happy life. But the happy life is not this life or that life. It's having God in your life and becoming who God wants you to be. I do now exactly what the dream I had as a little boy. As a little boy, see, and I never realized this till 2 weeks ago, Julie. I never saw this. Do you know that when you come to an age of accountability where you can reject God, or you hear about God and you can receive Him or reject Him? I never realized something until Julie and I talked 2 weeks ago. See, I never stopped learning. I wondered why, as a little boy, I had huge dreams. You know what my dreams were? It was to make a difference in this world. To help the poor. I used to take money from my mom and dad to give to the poor kids. I used to steal money from this church to give to the kids at school that didn't have lunches. I didn't go about it the right way, but I was trying to follow my heart. And when I, all of a sudden, I came to an age of accountability, and I never ever saw this till 2 weeks ago. My heart hardened. I didn't care about anybody else except for me. It's just me, me, me. And me, 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 me will end you up where you want to kill yourself because me will never make you happy. And when I give Jesus place in my life, that dreams as a little boy came back. And I'm now doing what God put in my heart as a boy. Which is being a blessing in life. Do you know this is, at my funeral, nobody will ever be able to say stories because I tell all my own stories, whether they're good or bad. But I love to help people. That's just me. That's what God put inside of me. And so when you do what God put in you, there is so much joy and happiness. And in the midst of helping people and making a difference, God blesses your life. My life is so blessed. Like, I wish I could tell you how I feel inside. Like, for me to work with John Jr. and Caleb and Josh and have my grandkids and Kylie and Rebecca and Grace and Charity, every night I come home and I want to sleep and watch TV for 10 or 15 minutes before I go to sleep. Guess who's beside me? Charity. And then I'm thinking, well, come on, Charity, take on. Mommy came. Nope. I am the most blessed man in life. Every dream that I had as a boy, God fulfilled it in my life, and I never tried to make no one of it. Nothing happened. God did it. Fulfillment is following God's plan for your life. That's where there's fullness of joy. And it's time to close. And I'll read the scripture I wanted to read at the start. Jesus said this: if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandment. And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because he seeth him not, and he doesn't know him. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he doesn't know him. How do you get insight? You got to know him. That's all. You got to know him. You got to know Jesus. And then you get the insight. It's that simple. Like, being a Christian is the best thing in the whole world. I had a guy. How can you do this? I'm just going to say this 5 minutes, and I'm just, because this is how I preach, out of my heart. And I use scripture. I had a guy that I lent a piece of machinery to because he didn't have a lot of money. And it was an older piece of machinery. And I needed it a year and a half later, so I went to get it. And guess what? And I'm only telling this story for one reason, because nobody knows who it is, and I wouldn't tell anybody who it is. I went back to get it, and he sold it. Because he needed money. And my first result was really angry. I was upset. Like, here I'm trying to help a guy, and he sells my equipment. I could sue him. I could beat him up. I could, I could put a lien against his house. I could. Well, this is how crazy I am. I was really angry. And God said to me, forget about it. And he said, I want you to phone him and tell him that if there's anything that you can do for him, because he's had hard times, just to let me know. I said, yeah, right, God. I ain't doing that. I ought to give this guy a punch in the head is what I ought to give him. The least to give me satisfaction. God said, I want you to phone him, and I want you to tell him that if there's anything he needs, you should help him, that I'll help you. And you know what? Because if you don't listen to your heart, you're not happy. Now I want to ask you a question. See, God's so smart. So I phoned the guy up, and I didn't want to do it, but I did what God said because I know that if you do it God's way, it always works. So I phoned him, and I said to him, listen, I know you've went through rough times. No worries about the machine. That's a year ago. If you ever need anything and you get into hard times, just let me know. I'll be glad to help you out. And I hung up. Now I want to ask you a question. Other than right now, me telling you this story, do you think that I've ever thought about that again at night? No. It's done. I forgot about it. Now, what do you think's better for me? To lay in bed at night and think how I can get him back? Or to be gone? Because I'll say this, because when you're a Christian, God is actually real. And God wants you to live in peace. And that's why you need to live in love. Because when you're bitter and angry and miserable, you don't have peace. You have turmoil. So God did what it was to try to give me peace. And God just blessed me with way more stuff over the years. See, God does things different than the world. And you might think in the world, you're right, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and I'm going to get that, and you're going to do this, and he gets penalized, and you get your piece of junk back. And everybody's mad at one another, and you got bitterness in your heart, and you're angry, and you're full of strife now, and you're trying to, how could I preach and be full of strife? You can't. God wants you to have a life of peace. And it's not even hard. Because God fills your heart full of love. Father, you love people so much. And I believe that we are our own worst enemy sometimes because we don't do it your way. We do it our way, Lord. And you said that our ways are so much higher, or your ways are so much higher than our ways. Father, I'm asking you first that you just make yourself real to people. Peace. I don't know why I'm just saying this, but peace. To have not a care in this whole world. People would pay millions of dollars for it. And it's a gift from Jesus. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, that you just make the difference in our lives. Draw us closer into the plan that you have for us. Father, if there's people that are here like me, then I didn't know who I was. I was trying to be somebody I wasn't. Father, I'm asking you just to make yourself real to them. And one last thing. This is a word from you, from God to you. I believe there's people here that have had dreams. And you might be thinking, I'm way past now where they can come to pass. Because I might be 50, 60, 70. Or I've done too much wrong. Or I've done too many things that it's too late. And the Lord would just say to you this, it is not too late. For I have plans, and those plans that I have had for you, and I put in your heart, are there because I put them in your heart. And my plan does not die because you've got off track or you didn't listen. For my plans are the same now as they were then. So get into my plan, says the Lord. And be encouraged. Because I'm still the same today as I was yesterday. And I will bring every one of them to pass. Father, I thank you and I praise you for that. I thank you for the greatest church family in the whole world. You blessed us with the wonderful people, our cottager friends, our locals, our ones from around our town and local communities. Father, I ask you to bless them abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. That you would prosper our church in every facet of their life. That your blessing would be upon them. And Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, I just thank you for Uber.